people serve a good God.
Amen.
Okay. We had to go through this in the first service. How many people serve a good God? I'll give you one more time because I gave them three chances. How many people serve a great God? There, I think you guys did better than the first service. Well, we do serve a great God, and we talked about him this morning in our worship and sung about him, and we're in a series, and I titled my message today, Feeling the Presence of God Through Worship, and that's what I want to share about this morning, and I need to do something. I don't know if you ever... My watch quit working in the first service. So we're on a tight schedule, and so we got to keep on track. I never thought I would do this, but I can remember when I was a kid, we'd see the preacher put his wallet or his watch up here and say, "Now, folks, I'm going to stay on track." And they never did. They went for hours and hours, and you're like, "When is he going to get done?" But I'm going to try to stay on track this morning. I asked him this morning, "Which do you want me to follow, this or the time back there?" Of course, the last young guy doing media in the first, he's like pointing to the real clock. So I don't know what that meant. But anyhow, we're going to stay on track, and we're going to talk this morning about worship. I'm going to hit my points really quick, but I think I want to drive them home. So let's just start with the reading of the word. And I'm going to read from John. And it says, "Yet a time is coming and has come now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth." Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for feeling your presence here this morning, Lord. And we want to continue to feel your presence. And Lord, I pray that this morning's message would stir our hearts in a new way, Lord, that we would become more than just observers, but we'll become strong worshipers that worship you in spirit and truth, and that we're worthy of our worship to you. Lord, have your way. Anoint the words in our ears in the name of Jesus to hear. Amen. Worship. I want to talk about worship. We all worship things outside of church, don't we? We all have things we worship. We worship our new sports car, or we worship our pool, or we tend to get hooked on things, right? We worship our phone. Probably everybody here is addicted to the social media. Me, I just personally worship my wife outside of church. I bow down to her every morning when she gets out of bed, and I say, "You're the queen, and I'm here to serve you." I don't do that every morning. I think it, but we all worship something. But we must worship God. And that's what it's all about. Worship is the feeling or expression or reverence for God. And I wrote down this: worship is when you go from talking about God to talking to him. Our worship. We need to extend our worship to God. So, worship will open up the presence of God in our midst. The Bible says in Psalms that he inhabits the praises of our people. So when we praise him, when we worship him, he comes into the midst. And if we don't, he says he can make the rocks cry out and worship him. But he's looking for us. He's looking for worship. He inhabits our praises. Worship is, I'm going to make another statement, is a direct access to the presence of God. A direct access. It's so important. Sometimes we don't put enough emphasis on worship in the church, and it's very important because it brings us into his presence, which the Bible says where he is, it's holy. It says, take off your sandals, for where you are standing is holy ground. We used to sing a song about that. We are standing on holy ground. Probably some of you remember that and some of you don't. But it's a great passage to sing. In order to develop worship, you have to know him. Like, it's really hard to worship God when you don't know him. Now, we're all believers here, I think, and there may be some that aren't believers, but you have to know God. I mean, I worship my wife because I know her. She's excellent. She's perfect. She's beautiful. She's like Pastor Ken said this one day to me. He said, when you married her, you hit the jackpot. And I said, I know I did. You have to know who you're married to. You have to know who your God is. You have to know the goodness, the things that God's done for you. He's taken us from a life of sin into a life of righteousness. He made this great provision for us. We're saved. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Our old ways are gone. He's for us and not against us. We serve a God that is with us through all things. Do you really know your God? When you know your God and what he's done for you, it gives you a different song to sing. You can sing a song that's empty when you don't know what God's done for you, but when you know he's met you, when he knows that when my daughter was dying, he healed her. I know that my God is the healer. When I was a kid and I had surgery on my eye and I couldn't see, you know, I was having problems, he healed me in a service. I know my God that I sing about. He's met me financially time and time again. I know who my Savior is. So when I sing, I know who I'm singing about. You see, do you know who you're singing about this morning? Are you just singing to sing? Or are you singing about a God that's real, that's alive, that's here in our midst, that when we get out of bed in the morning, we should begin to praise him no matter what's going on for who he is? You got to know your God. You can't worship somebody you don't know. It's really hard. But when we know our God, we just sing a different way. We sing from our heart. We let our voice flutter a little. And sometimes we get a little louder in our worship. You have to open your heart to experience his presence. Another point. I will praise the Lord, Lord my God, with all my heart. He's looking for our heart. I will glorify your name forever. We have to worship him with our heart, not our mind. We can't let our mind get in the way of our worship. It's all about the heart. Everything Jesus talks about is about the heart, about everything we do. Are you motivated by your own intellect, your own thoughts, your own things? Or are you motivated by the heart? He wants us to give him his heart. Just the same way you give your wife your heart or your husband your heart. You can tell sometimes when you're married and your spouse just fakes it. Right? You know, you're like, I love you. And they're like, yeah, whatever. Right? That never happens in my house. Just so you know, never happens in my house. It's never. She loves me all the time. Even when I'm bad, she loves me. Digest that for a second. God wants us to love him with all of our heart. He wants to open us to open our heart to him. He wants us to express our heart to him. You see, what comes out of us determines our worship. The Bible says, wash your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts. He wants us to come to him with a clean heart, too. Not a dirty heart. We used to sing a song probably 15, 20 years ago that said, give me clean hands and a pure heart. Give me clean hands and a pure heart. When we go before the throne of God in worship, when we're in this place, and I'm not talking just about here corporately, but I'm talking in our individual times alone with the Lord. We need to go before him with a clean heart. Clean. Come into this place with a clean heart. A lot of times we get so polluted by what's going on in our life in outside the Christian walk, in our everyday life. There's so much pollution there. And when I'm saying pollution, I'm not talking garbage on the ground. It's garbage that's going in your head and around you. People are talking this way and swearing and, you know, talking negative. And there's so much evil out there. And we can enter into that. Or it can just jump on us because we've been around it. It attaches a little bit. But when we come to the Lord, we should come before him and say, Lord, I want to come before you today with a clean heart, with pure heart, clean hands. Wash me fresh again today. The way we come to the Lord, with an open heart, with a clean heart he's looking for. You know, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, you can tell the difference in worship when it's just coming from here or it's coming from here. You can see the difference. The disconnect. God's not looking for it from here. He's looking from this heartfelt. He's looking for it. He wants us to worship him with his whole heart. That's my other point. Watching my time. Just stop here just for a second and talk about time for a minute. I told this earlier. I'll have you out on time. Back home where we came from, there was one restaurant. Some of you probably heard this. There's one restaurant in our little town. It's called Grandma's Bake Shop. And here's the deal. It depended how the Spirit was moving in church. We would say, we're going to try to have you out before the Baptist because the Baptist church was right beside it. And if the Pentecostals went too long, what happened is all the Baptists be in the church, there'd be no, or in the restaurant, there'd be no seats left for the Pentecostals. So I'm going to try to have you out so you get to Swiss Chalet before the Baptists. And I can say that about Baptists because my wife was a Baptist. Sorry to get off this topic, but I had to throw that in. So I'm watching the time. But let's worship him with our whole heart. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything that has breath praise the Lord. All of us need to praise the Lord with our whole heart. Not just half-heartedly. But with our whole heart. It seems like in church today, we've got so reserved that we're scared to lift our hands, vocalize our worship, do anything out of the norm. I grew up in an era where it was just free-for-all. It was like, you know, she's just free. Everybody can do whatever they want. And you know, it... I'm not saying just everybody do what they want, but I'm just saying I've seen it all. And you know, we get so reserved in our seats. We don't open our lips. We don't worship. We hold it in. We think that God can read our minds, just like our wife can read our minds. What do you mean I didn't tell you I loved you today? I told you a month ago, right? But God can read our minds, but he'd rather hear us say something, and he would rather us speak it out. Let me read you this. You know, David danced before the Lord. Something we don't see much anymore. We used to see it a lot, but it's scriptural. Like, you can go through the Bible. David, you know, he was so in love with God. His heart. David danced before the Lord, it says, with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. And he was shouting with joy. He wasn't reserved. And they were blowing horns. They were hooping her up, as we used to say. We're hooping her up on Sunday nights. They were getting excited. They were full of excitement, just like when the Raptors won the championship. There was a lot of cheering going on in these houses, wasn't there, guys? Huh? A lot of cheering. Or if the Jays win. But how come we got to sit here in church like this? That person's worshiping. You know, you look at your neighbor and they're worshiping, I don't want to say too much. You know, I might get out on the flesh a little bit. God wants us to worship him with our whole being, not to be reserved. That takes, if you got to dance, dance. If it means you got to clap, clap. If it means you got to lift your hands, lift your hands. If it means you got to grab your guitar and do this big 1980s rock and roll lift for Jesus, then do it. Right? You worship him with your instrument. I mean, I know that. I played all my life in the band. And sometimes the Holy Spirit would come on you and you would just play like, look, it didn't matter what you hit. It was right happening. Right? God's looking for us to worship him in spirit and truth, with our whole hearts, with our spirit man, not our natural man, because he's a spirit. I'm concerned about next Sunday now. Pastor Ked might set me down. No, he won't. He grew up in it too. He was the wildest of them all. No. There's a power that comes on us when we get in the presence of the Lord. When his presence falls in this place. So when we're worshiping him, we're giving him our whole heart. We're giving him everything we got. Everything we have in the tank. We're giving it to him. He just starts to settle in. Like this huge, strong presence. And you can feel it. And it's like on the days of Acts when they were in the upper room and they were waiting on the Lord. And the Holy Spirit came down and shook the place. Filled them all with the Holy Spirit. And people thought they were drunk in the middle. And he said, no, they're not drunk. They're drunk in the Spirit. They're so engulfed with his presence. And when the Holy Spirit comes in our worship services, and I desire that to come in the presence so strong. I've seen it. It happens. I've seen people in our worship service that weren't saved get out of their seat and come to the altar and say, I need to make Jesus my Savior. I need to repent of what's going on in my life. I've seen people that have been sick healed in our worship services. I've seen people set free in our worship services when the presence of the Holy Spirit settles in. That's how important our worship is. If we knew that we had the ability to bring the presence of the Lord in here that might touch somebody's life, might take away depression, and allow the peace of God to settle in their life and rule, we're kind of doing an injustice if we're not worshiping with our whole heart. You know, I went to Christ for the Nations years ago, and I like thinking about this story about when we got there, and the place was just packed, and the music started, and everybody was just worshiping the Lord. There was nobody sitting in their pew or seats, and everybody was just driving it. And I was looking all around, right? And I'm like, wow, these people are all pumped. And then all of a sudden they said, ooh, I better get in this because I'm going to look like the weird one. Peer pressure. But it was a good peer pressure. You know, it would be great if we all just jumped right in soon as the music started and started worshiping the Lord, praising Him, so that that we're the ones that are the majority, and that the one person or two people that aren't say, oh, maybe I better join in too. And they'll feel His presence. Worship is so important. You see, we have to do this not just here. We have to do this at home. Right? It's not a one day a week. It's not an hour and 15 minutes a week on Sunday. But it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle change. You know, when I feel bogged down, to get the release, I usually have to listen to worship music. And I have to start worshiping the Lord. And all those things that seem so big start to fade away. Because I start to pray and worship and bless His name. And we need to be in that culture. We need to develop that culture in our life every day. Not for an hour and 15 minutes on Sunday at 9:30. Or 11:30. I better skip this one because I got 4 minutes left. But you know, when we get in the presence of God, I started to say, we feel Him. Things change. Jesus shows up. He touches us. I'd like to say it's no different than when Jesus and His disciples were leaving Jericho, and there was a large crowd around Him, it says. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and they heard Jesus was going by, and they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. This just backs up about speaking things out. He knows what we need. Sometimes we need to speak it out. Sometimes we need to shout it out. Because we say it real simple and soft. Jesus, I'd like you to do this for me. Because we don't want nobody else to hear. But these men shouted. And Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want? He asked them. We want our sight. And Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their sight followed them. There's something about shouting. We've got quiet, but there's something about shouting. Jesus! Sometimes when we call out to Him, we need to call out to Him a little bit more frantic, a little bit more urgent, a little bit more direct than just saying, Jesus, can you come over here? I need you right now. No, when you shout out, Jesus, I need my sight. I need you. He hears us. He's not hard of hearing, but He hears us. He wants us to speak it out. When we enter into worship, chains break. We have a breakthrough. Paul and Silas was a prime example. Those boys got locked up in jail, and they had chains on them. But what did they do? They begin to pray, and they begin to sing praises to their Savior. Despite that they were bound. You know, today, if you're bound up by something, whether it be depression, whether it be sin, whatever's binding you, begin to praise Him. Begin to worship Him. Because that's what they did. Despite of the situation they were in, they began to praise Him. And even though they were bound, and maybe you're here bound by depression, you can still start to praise the Lord and say, I know who my God is. And it doesn't matter that I feel worthless today, because I know my God died for me and He did this for me. And when you begin to praise Him, that you serve a good, good God that's bigger than any mountain that you can or can't move. You begin to praise. What happens? The chains that are bound you up begin to loosen. You see, the enemy would like you not to worship Him, because chains are broken when we worship. Why do you think the enemy doesn't want us to worship? Why do you think he wants you to sit in your seat quiet and reserved? He doesn't want any chains in your life to be broken. We're going to go on to one more passage before I close. I'm 1 minute over. I got one person on my side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worship is a powerful tool of warfare. Sometimes we just don't realize it's a powerful tool. It destroys the works of the enemy. You know, Jericho was this fortified city that nobody could break into. But how do you know that Jesus, God, gave them the power to march around that? And they marched around it. And you might be marching around some things in your life. You might be marching around this financial thing. Or you might be marching around some sickness that you can't get over. That's got you held. And so what do you do? Get up in the morning and begin to walk around it. Throw your bills down. Or if you got this bad report from the doctor, put the doctor's report down and start to mark around it and say, in the name of Jesus, I know that you're on my side. You're for me. You're not against me. And you walk around it, and you begin to bless Him every morning, no matter what the circumstance. You know, we used to sing a song, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Yes. And just begin to worship Him. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Greater is He that's in me. Just begin to worship Him and sing to Him and worship. And what happened in the seventh day? The walls came crumbling down. Yes, the walls that seemed to be impossible in your life will crumble in worship. You see, folks, that's why worship is so important. Not to be a spectator, but to be a participant. This is a sport we all can participate in. And He doesn't care whether you can sing good or sing bad, because He looks at the heart. He looks at your participation. God can do it. God can do it. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We worship Him. Let's all stand this morning. Let's just take a minute before we pray, and let's lift our hands and worship Him just for a minute. Lord, we worship You. We glorify You, Lord, today. We lift up the name that's above every name. We thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your authority. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for what You did on the cross. Lord, we thank You that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that we are Your son or Your daughter. and that you care for us no matter what. We come against any chain of darkness in the name of Jesus. We bind up the works of Satan. We crush you in the name of Jesus in this place today. We bind you. You have no dominion in this house in the name of Jesus. We speak to every mountain that seems impossible to climb, and we destroy it. We command it to move in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you glory today. Lord, I pray for every individual that's here this morning, that the fire of the Holy Ghost would come on them in a new and a fresh way, that their heart would be stirred, that they would want to worship you with all their heart, all their might, all their soul, Lord. I pray that our church would be known as people that are worshipers. I pray that when people come in this place, they'll be moved by the Spirit of God that's in our worship. In the name of Jesus, I declare these things. We come against any work of the enemy that would try to destroy your presence in this place. We serve notice. You have no dominion in this place. For your power is here. Your blood is here. Lord, I pray that this week, everyone here will be challenged, Lord, to become more of a worshiper, Lord, myself included, Lord, that we'll allot more time to worshiping you from our heart and not from our mind, that we won't just give you lip service, we'll give you heart service. We declare these things in this place in the name of Jesus. We bless the name of Jesus. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for the name that's above every name. In the name of Jesus, amen.